So we started foundations class 2 weeks ago, and when I teach class, what I like to do is have the talks go along with the subject matter of what we're covering in class. That way it reinforces the material for the students that are teaching the that are taking the class. It makes things clear that might not have been made totally clear, and it lets you come along in the education with us. And so this week in class, we talked about the creative process. And what the creative process is, that means that we co-create our lives through our consciousness. That we co-create our lives through our beliefs and through our thoughts and through our attitudes and what we put our focus on and through our feelings. That we co-create our lives by that consciousness that's going on inside of us all the time. Because what Ernest Holmes calls the law of the universe, or the law of cause and effect, responds to those feelings and those attitudes and those thoughts and those beliefs. It responds to us, and then it somehow orchestrates or draws to us things that match that consciousness. I'm going to wait for you two there because we're all focused on you. That's okay. Are we good? Okay. We're trying videotaping the service so we can start posting it online. So today's the practice day, figuring out what works and how it works and stuff. So we're playing around today. So the creative process, it means that that law of the universe responds to our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions and our beliefs. It responds and then it draws to us or somehow orchestrates things in our life so that those things that match that consciousness come to us. So it is a law of attraction and a law of repulsion, that we attract to us things that are of a like vibration, and we repel from us things that do not match that vibration. It is called a law of correspondence. And so Ernest Holmes says the law responds by corresponding. It corresponds to our consciousness. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, law of life is a law of thought, an activity of consciousness. The power flows through us. The spirit can do for us only what it can do through us. Unless we are able to provide the consciousness, it cannot make the gift. Unless we provide a space within us, a vibrational space that matches the thing that we desire, God cannot provide the gift for us because we are literally blocking it from coming into our lives. And so what that means is all the good that we could ever imagine is already available in that presence, in that potential. All the love, all the good, all the peace, all the wisdom, all the intelligence, all the order is already around us and within us. But we create the avenue by our thoughts and feelings and emotions so that it can come forward and express itself in us and in our lives. So we must avail ourselves to it, and we do that when our beliefs line up with the good that we want to have in our lives. And so the title of my talk today is Mirror, Mirror, and I'm talking about the fact that our life mirrors our consciousness. And I'm also, of course, giving us a tool of what we can do to shift that and create some different beliefs if what we are do not like what's showing up in our lives and would like to change that. And so I read a really fascinating article this week online. It was a blog called Advanced Life Skills by Jonathan Wells. And he says this: once established, beliefs are accepted as fact and are rarely subject to scrutiny. They become our, quote, personal operating system. Much like the operating system on your computer, our beliefs control how we sort and file every bit of input data. Everything we see, experience, think, and feel is adjusted to fit our beliefs. In other words, our version of reality is a creation of our beliefs. Our personal operating system disassembles and reassembles all input data to conform to what we believe. We literally don't see what it is that doesn't match up with our system. It's like it's a lens that we're looking through. He says, if we have created an internal map where opportunity is everywhere, that is what we will see. When our map is based on opportunity, we won't view challenges as obstacles because they wouldn't harmonize with our map. So we interpret the facts in a way that allows them to fit in and support our internal map of reality. So what if our map says that everyone is out to take advantage of us? Then we will misinterpret the events in our lives to fit our map. Perhaps we will take neutral experiences and put a negative spin on them. We may read negative messages into harmless conversations or unkind motives into a meaningless glance. If we are convinced, if we believe on a subconscious level that people are out to get us, then we will find ample evidence in the world to confirm that belief. Because it's all available. We create the magnetic opening so that we experience those things that match up with our consciousness, match up with our deep-held beliefs. And then the other thing is not just do we experience life by our beliefs, but we are also subject to that collective consciousness that we live in. It's like a soup of beliefs and attitudes. We are subject to that unless we know something different or contrary to that. For example, there is a belief in this consciousness of this country that winter is cold season. If we do not consciously know something different, like God is the only power in my life and it is a power of wholeness and of good and of harmony and of order, and that is expressing in my body, if our consciousness is immersed in that and we really believe that, then we aren't going to get the cold. But if we just go along on our everyday life and don't think about whatever to contradict those beliefs, we are privy to those beliefs and we are affected by them. There's that belief that life is hard. There's a collective belief that New Yorkers are rude. Well, I tell you, I went on vacation to New York. I met one rude person when I was in New York. Nobody. People were helpful. People were kind. People talked to me because it doesn't fit with my belief system about people being rude. So we literally create what it is that we experience. And so what that means then is we can change our lives. We can change the circumstances that we find ourselves in by changing our consciousness, by changing our beliefs and our attitudes and what we're focused on. Hence that tagline in religious science, change your thinking, change your life, which really would more correctly be change your beliefs and change your life. Because the law is acting on those subconscious beliefs that we hold. And so let me tell you also, this is not my favorite talk to give. Because I think this talk is very dry, and I think it's kind of boring. And I remember when I was going to church in Cyprus, I used to think, oh my God, if I have to hear one more talk about the law, I'm just going to scream. Because once you know about it, why do we need to keep talking about it? But today we're talking about it because that's what I'm teaching in class. But I would personally much rather talk about creating peace in this world, or I'd much rather talk about becoming and being a beneficial presence on the planet, or bringing the love of God into this world by being of selfless service, because those things stir me, and those things open my heart up and feed my soul. And this is still an important talk. It's important, just like it's important to eat your spinach and your broccoli and the rainbow of vegetables. I would much prefer just to eat mashed potatoes and peach French toast with whipped cream on it, but that's not the way it is. And so this talk is important because it gives us a tool to create our lives. It gives us a tool to change the things in our lives that we don't like and to create the life of our dreams and the life of our longings. Just like Maslow's hierarchy of needs says that we have to have those physical needs met first, the physical needs and the safety needs and the needs of belonging before we can we can do those higher calling of our spirit and come from that place of spirit and do those things that are of a higher aspiration and focus our energy there, we have to get these things in order first. So using the law enables us to get all of those things in order. And say actually that we are already self-actualized. We still want to be able to create the life of our dreams, so it's still an important talk. And so in using the creative process then, we begin by recognizing that we live in an infinite universe. We begin by recognizing that we live in this field of infinite potential, that we live in this boundless good, that is the nature of life. That is the nature of the divine. That is the nature of this invisible thing that we live in. We begin there, recognizing that energy of unformed substance and the potential for good fills everything. Imagine that it's like an ether, the ether that's in between and around and surrounding us and everything. That is that energy of unformed, infinite potential that is waiting to express in our lives. It's invisible to the eye, yet it permeates and fills everything that is. Greg Braden calls that a unity field. Deepak Chopra calls that the field of pure potentiality. Ernest Holmes calls it the mind of God. And quantum physicists called it the quantum field of possibility. Remember, in quantum physics, it talks about everything simultaneously exists in potential until there is somebody that observes it, that notices it, and then the waves of possibility, all of the waves, one of them collapses into actuality as it's witnessed. All of those things are talking about the same exact thing that Ernest Holmes calls mind. And so that field, then, that we live in, that law responds to our thoughts and responds to our feelings by orchestrating the events in our lives and the things to line up with our predominant thinking. And so that same blog that I read to you, he says this. He talks about how do we know then if we have beliefs that we need to change? If life is corresponding to our belief system, how do we know if we need to change some of those thoughts? He says the easiest way to identify our own limiting beliefs is to look at the results they produce. Any area of our life where we are producing good results is probably anchored in an empowering belief. Likewise, any area in our life that is plagued with unsatisfactory or frustrating results is likely anchored in a limiting belief about ourselves, about what we're capable of, a limiting belief about life, a limiting belief about something. So what this means then is identifying the beliefs that are holding something in place isn't about giving ourselves a hard time. It isn't about making ourselves wrong for what it is that we have in our life, but instead it's about recognizing that so that we can discover what belief we need to know instead. What belief is going to support me in having what it is that I want to have? What's going to help me succeed in life? And so, for an example, it might be that you have some belief that you are somehow inadequate. And instead of holding the belief that you are inadequate, maybe you need to know that you are fully capable. Maybe you need to know that everything that you need, you already possess inside of yourself, because that's going to shift what's happening in your life. But it's not about giving yourself a hard time. It's about discovering what it is that I need to believe in order to create what it is that I want to have in my life now. So it behooves us to recognize what beliefs we need to develop or foster in order to succeed or in order to have what we want to have. And so what we did in class this week is we talked about how to create affirmations. And so affirmations are powerful tools to shift our focus from what isn't working to what is working. Affirmations are a powerful tool to begin shifting our beliefs so that we can have a new belief to create something new in our lives. And so affirmations are always positive. They are always speaking to what it is that you want to have or to be or to do or to experience, not what you don't want to have or experience or do. They are always in the present tense as if they are happening right now. You'll notice in our affirmations that we read here, they almost always start out with today. Today, I recognize, yada, yada, yada. They're always about right now. I now step into. They're always in this moment. They are always about us. And the key, they have to be believable. I think that's sometimes where we get stuck, is we use some affirmations and we don't really believe them. So you say the words, like for example, say you say, I have $1 million. And as soon as you say it, something back here goes, nah-uh. And the law acts on the nah-uh because it has more emotion connected to it and it's a stronger feeling than the thing that you read or said that was somebody else's words. So instead of saying like, I have $1 million, instead you might say something more like, I live in an infinite universe where all of my needs are met. I live in an abundant universe and all of my needs are met. Because you can feel that and you can almost feel yourself lean into it. And sometimes when you use those affirmations, you can almost go, oh, what a relief. It feels good to use those words because something in me back here knows that it's true. And so we begin where we are with something that is believable, and then if we need to, we can stretch it after we're already believing that, and then we can stretch it again. But we do it as little steps. And so what I'd like to do is to share some affirmations with you and to have you repeat them after me. So the first one is, I'll say it, and then we can say it together. I live in an abundant universe, and I always have what I need. I live in an abundant universe, and I always have what I need. I give out love, and it is returned to me multiplied. I give out love, and it is returned to me multiplied. I love myself unconditionally and accept myself exactly as I am. I love myself unconditionally and accept myself exactly as I am. I am enough. I am solution-oriented. All problems are solvable. I am solution-oriented. All problems are solvable. I am free of negative thinking. I embrace only positive thoughts. I am free of negative thinking. I embrace only positive thoughts. I consciously release the past and live only in the present. I consciously release the past and live only in the present. I enjoy and experience life to the fullest. I enjoy and experience life to the fullest. And the last one, I am never alone. The infinity of God supports me and is with me at every step. I am never alone. The infinity of God supports me and is with me at every step. Do those feel good? Feel like you can just lean into them? So it's important that when you use affirmations and create affirmations for yourself, that something shifts inside of you on a feeling level. Oh, that feels better than where I was living and whatever else I was believing or focusing on or thinking about. Because when those affirmations are believable to us, they create an energetic shift within us. They create a vibrational shift within us when we believe them. And then that new vibration can draw to us a matching vibration. We create an opening within ourselves of acceptance. We become available to the good. That's really what's happening. We change our vibration so that we are open and can allow it to come into our lives. And so I remember the first time that I ever gave a talk. I was a practitioner, and I was going to church in Cyprus, and it was our Christmas Eve candle lighting service, which meant it was a full house, with everyone's family and friends. It was packed. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a call from my minister to tell me that she had laryngitis and couldn't speak. And would I deliver her talk for her? Needless to say, I was a nervous wreck in front of all these people. I'd never done a talk before. And so I got to church and was sitting in the front row waiting, and the service is going on, and I was so nervous, and my hands were sweating, and how am I going to do this? And I started using this affirmation, saying to myself over and over again, I can do this and greater things than this I can do. And I'm repeating it to myself, I can do this and greater things than this can I do. And pretty soon I felt this calm wash over me, and I got up on the stage and did the talk and wasn't nervous at all. I became and made myself available for the peace and harmony that already exists. We make ourselves available through using those affirmations to what already is available. And so Ernest Holmes says, concentration of thought is not an effort to compel, but a desire to permit the stream of creative energy to take definite form. We permit, by changing our vibration, something new to come into our lives. And so affirmations create that opening within us so that our desired good can flow to us because it matches our new vibration. And you know what? It doesn't matter how ingrained or how old or how unproductive those thoughts are. Affirmations begin to change our thinking, which begins to change our beliefs, and both of those things, or all of those things, change our feelings and change our openness to experiencing something else. So that's why we begin using affirmations. They create a change, no matter how long or how old those old thought patterns are. And so Ernest Holmes speaks to that. He says, that which thought has done, thought can undo. Lifelong habits of wrong thinking can be consciously and deliberately neutralized, and an entirely new order of mental and emotional reaction established in mind. Merely to abstain from wrong thinking is not enough. There must be active right thinking. Affirmations create that active right thinking so we can step into a different life. And so my invitation to you this week is to notice what isn't working in your life. Notice what is frustrating. Where is it hard? And then to recognize there has to be some belief or attitude that is holding that thing in place in your life. And then to ask yourself, what is it that I want to desire instead of this thing? What is it that I want to experience instead of this thing? What is it that I desire? And then begin affirming that. Begin affirming that that thing is already present, is already available, is already right within you, that you have it, that it is yours, that you possess it already. Speak as if it's already true. But remember, it has to be believable. So find words that enable you to believe what it is that you're saying. And if you have a hard time coming up with an affirmation, sit with one of the practitioners. All of the practitioners are experts at this, and they would love to help you create an affirmation that fits so perfectly for you that it feels right and that it feels good and that you can start using it in your life. And then keep your attention there. Take it off of what isn't working. Continue to affirm that. Use your affirmations over and over again. Place them where you see them, in your car and on the refrigerator. Practice, commit 3 times a day. I'm going to say this affirmation 10 times. But practice using it so that it can start changing the way that you're thinking. And then notice how you start thinking differently. Notice how you start feeling differently. Notice how you start seeing life a little bit differently. And then trust. Use your affirmation and trust that it is coming to you. Trust that it is on its way. And then you'll be well on your way to manifesting the life of your heartfelt desires. And so blessings to all of you on this path of awakening and of creating the life of your greatest longings. Blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we affirm by taking our consciousness to this place of truth and how good it is to step into the truth of oneness, to recognize that that infinite presence is right here in this room, that that infinite presence of love and of good and of peace and of infinite potential, of boundlessness, is always right where we are, that we walk in this presence and with this presence, and that this presence expresses itself as all that we are, that the order and the intelligence and the good of the universe expresses itself within our bodies as perfect function, as perfect action, that the love of God and our own wholeness speak within our hearts and speak within our minds and manifest as harmonious relationships. That the good of the universe pours forth into our life as an abundance of everything that we desire to have in our lives, of friends and of financial good and of opportunities and of time. All of it is available. And so today we open ourselves to it by recognizing that it is here, by recognizing that it is already within us, and by opening our hearts and affirming, yes, God, I am available, and I am ready, and I am willing, and it is mine, and I accept the gift of health and of plenty and of opportunity and of peace and of harmony and of all the good that there is. And so how good it is to be in this place of remembering and in this place of knowing, in this place of embodying and accepting that infinite presence. And so I recognize not only is it right where we stand at every single moment in our lives, but that this is the truth for every person on this planet. Every person's life is imbued with this presence. Every home is filled with this presence. Every person is here giving way to and expressing this presence of love and of peace and of good, of wholeness and of power and of oneness. And so I see this divine presence everywhere on this planet. And I call it forward and I name it good. And I know that that is what is occurring on this planet right now because our belief activates that law and makes it that much more available. And so we accept this as truth today. And I also speak this word right now about every single politician and policymaker and world leader, knowing that they right now are lifted and inspired by that presence of love and peace and oneness right now, and something new is occurring within them. And God is having its way. And with that, I say thank you, God, for all of this, and I release this prayer into the law of the universe, knowing that it is done, and we accept it as so. And I say thank you, God, and so it is.